Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. It looks like our sound effects are working again. I'd like to welcome you all to a little show that we call A Cup of Joe. This is a place where we like to get down and dirty, get down to the truth about the problems and solutions surrounding prohibition, civil rights, your freedom, and liberty. So just glad to have you joining me today, and I'd like to have you give a call in, let your friends know that we are live. All you got to do is call in at area code 646-929-2495. Or you can log into the Blog Talk Radio link that's all over Facebook right now, and you can listen online. Remember, every one of these shows is archived, and if you miss something, you can always come back and listen to it again. But if you listen to the archive, of course, you cannot call in. If you are on the line and you think of something that you want to say to the host, a guest, or even just a comment that you want to make, just hang up, call back. Our screener, Mike, will plug you in and let me know that you are in queue with a question or a comment. I'd like to thank the Coffee Party Radio Network for allowing this show to come on the air every Friday from 5 to 6 or 5 to 7, depending on how packed the show gets. One thing I'd like to bring up is that due to numerous requests, we are considering moving the show. And looks like Tuesday or Wednesday is the openings that we will have. And it's looking more and more like Wednesday at 5 o'clock Pacific time is the most likely time that we will change it to. So if you are interested in joining our radio team, if you want to hear the show change to Tuesday or Wednesday, or if you want to make sure it stays right here where it's at, all you got to do is send an email to info@thsintl.org. All right, so today we're going to continue our series on effective grassroots organizing, how we can work together as volunteers to end cannabis prohibition. We're going through different points every week, and today we're going to be talking about the anatomy of a rally, the effectiveness of bringing people together in protest for something or another. And sometimes it's a rally in support of something. Either way, we're going to be talking about that in just a little bit. But first, I do want to get to some news, and then I've got some callers I want to get to right off the bat, so I make sure we have plenty of time for everybody that has something that they want to say. Remember, the Human Solution is an all-volunteer grassroots 501c3 organization, and we are dedicated to fighting for and preserving civil liberties, civil rights, and our mission is to end cannabis prohibition. We do that by educating and supporting those that are willing to stand up and fight for our rights. We have a prison outreach program for those that have already been unfortunately taken into custody, and we have a court support program for those that are facing charges and willing to stand up and fight. We've got a lot of proactive activities that are starting to happen right now, numerous lawsuits, civil rights actions, both local, state, and federal. So we're taking it to them as much as we're standing in defense of our own civil liberties. So what I'd like to bring up, first of all, is once a year, the Human Solution International holds a planning conference call. We've done it for about the last 3 years. And sometimes we focus on chapters or growth or whatnot. This year we're going to focus on goals, and we're going to focus on engaging people that wish to participate more and making it easy to do that. This conference call is going to be Tuesday, the 23rd, and it's going to be at 7 o'clock Pacific time. So it's going to be a little late on the East Coast, but that's actually on purpose. Some of our East Coast folks are requesting that we have a little bit of a later start. So anyways, 7 o'clock Pacific time. This is not our normal conference call information. If you wish to get the registration, this is a call that needs to be registered for. You need to send an email to info@thsintl.org, and we'll send you the link to register for the call. Remember, again, it's Tuesday, the 23rd at 7 p.m. Pacific time. Okay, we've had a big day today, actually. We've had a victory, and our victories sometimes come at the end of a long and bloody battle. In my case, it was like that. Sometimes a case will get dismissed. Sometimes we'll get an acquittal at the end of a trial. There's all different ways that we can have victory. Sometimes even in what seems to be a defeat, we find a victory in it. But we're going to bring up Mary Donnelly first, and she was present at a case that was going on up in El Dorado County, and she's going to tell us a little bit about it. We had some real good news today. Mary Donnelly, welcome to the show. It's always a pleasure to have you with us.
Oh, likewise. Today is one of those days where the sun just shone through the clouds, and you realize they're getting it. It's coming around, and it fills you up, and it tells you, keep on doing what you're doing because it's working. We were, after 15 months, the Pure Life Dispensary was finally going to get their answer as to whether or not the charges were going to go forward to trial. And I think it was 5 days of pretrial. I sat through all of it. And what I found out from the judge as he was talking today was he said that he knew very little about medical marijuana in the law. And I was shocked, and I realized that the officers that arrest people and the DAs that figure out what charges to charge people with and all this, it really is just ignorance. It's just they simply don't know. So with the judge saying that, he said that it took him close to 2 months to go through all of the testimony. There was a lot of it. And he said he just didn't find anything when he actually looked at the law and looked at the testimony. He found nothing to move it forward for trial. 100% across the board dismissal. Four families were given their life back today. Lives that for 15 months had been, up in the air. I watch people, lose places to live and lose business prospects and lose their sense of worth. And that came back today in a flood, and it was just filled with tears and cheers and good times. We're going in the right direction.
Oh, I'm so glad to hear that. Yeah, people don't realize the toll that standing up and fighting for your case takes on a family, takes on an individual. You know, I went through this for 6 years, and I had to go to court more than 200 times in my cases. And what people don't realize, well, some people do realize this, but on the court side of things, everybody's going to work. The judge goes to work. The prosecutor goes to work. All the prosecutor's assistants go to work. The court clerk goes to work. The bailiffs go to work. All the cops that come in and testify go to work. The detectives involved in the case, they go to work. It's just another day at work. The security guards at court, all the people in the cafeteria, everybody there when you go to court is just doing their job. And, I say that a little bit pointedly because it is a little bit different approach when you're showing up to work and you're doing your job. Often, there's a different point of view than certainly somebody who's fighting for their freedom, and absolutely for somebody who's taking time off of their normal day's routine, whether it's work or volunteer work or school or being a parent or whatever. Doesn't matter. When we come and support defendants, we're making a sacrifice that goes way beyond what anybody in that court does. But the hardest part, like you were talking about, Mary, is that the defendant doesn't have a choice. And when you get charged with a felony crime, they don't care if you have a job. They don't care if you have a child. They don't care if you're sick and can't hardly make it. They don't care if you're going to they don't care if you're going to get kicked out of school because you're not attending. They don't care about any of those things. And I have watched people lose their jobs. I've watched people lose their place of residence. I've lost people get kicked out of school. I've watched every sort of sacrifice come down, and it's a tragedy that I know that prosecutors know about. And I know a lot of times, a lot of these cases, and you're absolutely right, Mary, a lot of these are based on pure ignorance, but sometimes they're not. Sometimes they're actually focused because the defendant might be a loudmouth activist, may have rubbed something in a public official's eye or done something to upset somebody. A lot of times that's the core of a case. And when it happens, in my case in particular, they don't have to beat you. They don't have to get their felony conviction to punish you. I can remember when they violated my bond and drug me out of court one of the several times and took me into custody. I remember looking at the prosecutor, and she smirked at me as they were putting me in handcuffs and taking me away. And I thought to myself, wow, that's a level of humanity that I hope nobody has to ever encounter. But you're right, more often than not. And I have to chalk it up to her ignorance of who I was. She wouldn't have wanted harm to me had she actually known me. And, you know, it's hard to get past that sometimes because of the direct cause and effect that you have to deal with. I've watched families get torn apart, marriages not survive, and obviously that's one of the primary reasons that most people take a deal. That's why every single court has a 97% or better conviction rate, because most people take a deal. And so I really think that if anybody can take a minute and consider supporting somebody that is standing up and fighting, I think that if you can understand what a heroic action is, that anybody who is standing up and fighting is not clearly just fighting for their own freedom, but they're fighting to push this awareness forward. They're fighting to enlighten, to make social change. And this is what is going to happen when enough of us do stand up. So anyhow, Mary, I am thank you for bringing the good news to us. And how are things coming with your case? When's your next hearing?
Oh, it's pushed out now till May. My public defender was given another case that had to be heard on my trial date. And he said, I know that you're going to be very upset because you told me absolutely no continuances. And he says, all I can say is my boss told me I have to. And I can give you the name of a private attorney, if you like, because I don't recommend anyone else in my office. He says, I hope you stay with me. He says, but he says, if you can, I understand it. And in that moment, it was another one of those where the sky opens and the sun came through. In my heart space, I knew that I was in the right place, and part of my learning in this was to trust the process. And I'm not talking the legal system process. I'm talking a more universal process. To trust that, to go with my gut, and to stick with this man and be patient. Allow these people to realize what's really going on. Allow that time for the dust to settle. And I told him, no worries. I said, take care of your 25 to life person over here. I said, I'll wait, because I chose you on purpose. And I did choose him. I saw him representing someone in court, and I went up to him and I asked, can you be my attorney? And he says, I'm a public defender. I said, that's what I'm looking for. He says, no, we don't get chosen. We're there's a pool and all this. And I said, okay, well, I'd like you to be. He says, you know, he gave me a number to call. He says, you go there and they'll assign you somebody. He called me one week later and said, well, they gave you to me. I said, I chose you. And he just kind of, But we've developed a relationship, and even though it's now pushed out till I think May 5th or 6th, I really truly don't even believe it'll go to trial. There's a weird, odd part of me that hopes it does, because I want to stand up in that official room with these jurors, and I want to tell my story. I want it to be heard. I don't need that so much that I'm willing to risk my liberty over it, but there is a part of me that would be full completion, but I'm perfectly fine with having it be dismissed beforehand, which is what I believe will happen.
Well, you know, I admire your courage, and you know, you are absolutely right. There is every once in a while somebody will connect with a public defender that has the right stuff, and when your public defender actually communicated to you a message that said he understands anything that you have a concern about, to me, that's huge. That sets this person miles apart from most of them. And it's not that they're, you know, bad people. They're just overworked. Every public defender has probably three times the caseload that they're, you know, really have time for, and that's one of the reasons that you know, so many people are encouraged to take these deals. Well, I think that's fantastic news on all fronts, and I think you're right. I think that you are clearly destined to make a difference out here, and certainly being willing to stand and fight is that thing that sets you apart from so many. And not only that, but you're out there supporting others at the same time. So you have my deepest respect.
I just want to say one more thing.
On the call on Tuesday. Yes, of course.
I every time you say stand up and fight, I understand the intention behind that. I don't really look that I'm fighting. I don't look that I'm fighting with anyone about this. I look that I'm standing up for what is, and I'm being heard, because I really look at the person on the other side as one of us that just hasn't realized it yet. So I just want to say that the fighting part, you know, I go back to Mother Teresa, and she says, I won't fight against war, but I will stand for peace. So that's what I'm doing. I don't want to fight with anyone. I totally disagree with a lot of what's gone on, but that resistance, that anger within me has not served me.
Let's say that.
I'm standing my ground. Yeah.
We'll call it that. We can take the fight out of it. We'll call it standing your ground. Standing up for your rights. How's that?
Yes. Thank you.
Okay. Beautiful. I will consider myself duly corrected, and I think that's a wise choice of words. So, well, Mary, again, thank you so much for being part of the show, and hopefully you'll join us on Tuesday as we have our conference call, and keep on going. You're an inspiration.
Thank you. Looking forward to it. Take care.
Beautiful. All right. You too. Okay, well, we're going to keep on going with some calls for now, and we'll just see where we go. We've got Isaiah Alleman, and we have Dawn, and I think, I'm not quite sure. Let's go to Dawn first, because I'm not sure if you have a question or not. Dawn, welcome to the show. Did you have a question for me or a comment?
Well, I just wanted to make a comment and let you all know that I am under indictment for growing 50 plants. And it's in Metro Atlanta, and I plan on going with a medical defense or nullification defense, and because I am an epileptic, I do not have a card, though, which I tried to obtain in Georgia, and my first neurologist refused to do it after seeing me for 20 years. And my new neurologist, because of the laws in Georgia, has to be an ongoing patient, and I've only seen him once. So I'm kind of stuck on that at the moment, although I am in New York now, and I might try to get a card up here. But I plan on putting a medical defense forward, and if that doesn't work, then I'm going to go for nullification.
Now, what stage of your case are you at?
Well, I had I'm assuming I got indicted today. Like I said, I'm in New York.
Oh, this just happened? Right. Wow.
No, it happened in August.
Oh, okay. But
the indictment just came down on, what's today, Friday? And the 19th is when I was supposed to show, but I spoke with my attorney, and he's going to take care of it. But I'm trying to put it off as long as possible to...
Now, are these state charges?
You know, let things progress as they do. I figure the longer it takes to go to court, the more chance I've got.
More often than not, you're right. But I guess my question is, are these state charges or are they federal charges?
No, state.
Oh, good, good. Well, it's better than federal, that's for sure.
Well,
all right,
I'll tell you why. I'd rather be in the federal charges. I went through that once already for about 5,000 plants in Mississippi with the feds. But,
okay, well, most people don't fare too well with the feds, but...
At least when I went away to a decent place, you know, whereas these state facilities kind of suck.
Let's hope that you don't have to see the inside of a state facility. And if you are interested in organizing some local support, let me know. Come back on the show or, reach me separately through the Human Solution website, and I'll be glad to help you organize some local support if you need to.
Okay. Well, I had touched with somebody in Douglasville, which is not far from Atlanta, and she said that she had started a group, but somehow we lost touch.
Okay. Well, if you are interested in doing that, let me know. Or if you want to, Mike, the screener, can get your contact information, and I can reach out to you a little bit later.
Okay. Yeah, I would love to do it, but unfortunately, I'm going to be stuck in New York for I don't know how long. My mom's
got it.
Come down with all
the time. We do have Kim Smith is head of our Southern Style chapter that does cover Georgia, and there's also Sharon Raybert from Peachtree Normal. Those are two people that are somewhat local. So if you are interested in connecting with them, let me know, and we'll do what we can to put you guys in touch.
Yeah, I'm definitely interested. So if you can send me an email or something. And give me some contact
information. Well, if you stay on the line after I take you off, if you can give your contact information to Mike the screener, I can go ahead and do that. So thank you so much, Don, for joining the show, and feel free to check in next week if you want.
Okay, thanks, Joe.
All right, thank you. All right, so let's see. We're going to bring up Lisa Gresham Gordon, and she's been involved with this Pure Life case as well. And I just want to get your point of view. Lisa, how are you doing today?
I'm good, Joe. How are you?
I am fantastic. Above ground breathing and currently out of custody.
Out of custody. That's awesome. So is
That's
everybody else
like
up here.
It.
Isn't that fantastic?
I couldn't be happier.
I was with Shelby in Sacramento, and I love Mary to death. I was listening. And thank you, Mary, so much. I just got off the phone with one of the defendants, Whitney Marchand, and they are ecstatic. One of the defendants one's currently in Panama, one's on the way to Costa Rica, and the two in town, their heads are spinning, and everybody is just on the move. Pure Life will be opening on Monday, they told me.
Nice.
They have their open sign on. I just videoed it. Shelby was continued a 33rd time, I believe it is.
Wow! Any progress with the case with that new new witness that looks like it's going to be? We had sort of a twist that came through. Has there been any progress with that?
Well, you know, Joe, it's definitely twisted.
It's a very
interesting case, and I had to decide between actually three different cases because I follow some different cases in El Dorado County, and Unfortunately, I wasn't able to move away from El Dorado County all the way before the property I was leasing was just taken over by some meth and heroin activity. And there was a huge bust two nights ago, and my storage is still there. My credit card was confiscated by them because it was mailed there, and 211 credit cards were found at my previous residence. And a credit card making machine. So Colorado County's got some really big problems, Joe, and it's not about cannabis. So I'm really hoping that they got that message.
Yeah, you know, I mean, on some level, at least if law enforcement is working on cases that actually impact society, that actually bring harm to the community, then good for them. There's nothing about meth and heroin that ever help anybody, and certainly a lot of people have suffered and even lost their lives over it. So as much as I'm all about freedom, I am not an advocate for meth and heroin by any stretch.
One of the six defendants arrested was arrested for murder.
Oh, no.
So I happen to have known the young man since the day he was born, and it's an unfortunate situation where his mother OD'd about 8 years ago. She was a friend of mine. So it's an ugly situation. You know, incarcerating people and hooking them up with other like-minded people doesn't seem to have done this 26-year-old young man any good either.
Yeah, it's amazing that when somebody gets locked up, it's seldom makes them a better person. Every once in a while, somebody overcomes and remains intact, but seldom is it a benefit to anybody, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, you know, but obviously that's the way it's got to go. I have four grown children his age, and these kids all grew up together pretty much. So it's kind of crushing to me. So I've learned about the advocate activist thing, Joe, and what you were talking about the highs and the lows of the emotional, because while I'm on this emotional high with Pure Life and Whitney Marchand and this very interesting case with Shelby Lucero, I've got these other personal issues and personal cases. What I did this morning, since I couldn't be in El Dorado County, was I stuck my Pure Life shirt on and I went into a very high-profile trial-setting conference case. And then I left El Dorado County and I went with Shelby. So,
well,
I've sat in on a lot of cases.
There. I appreciate you being up there and making a difference. I think I talked to Tom Corby earlier today. He's supposed to be checking in with the show as well. So, anyhow, well, thank you so much. Hopefully, you'll be able to join us on Tuesday for our conference call. And we're going to be doing. Yep, absolutely. All right. Well, thank you so much, Lisa. And we will talk soon.
All right. Take care, Joe. Bye-bye.
Yep. All right. Up next, we have Isaiah Alleman, and we're coming right up on the time that Craig Cecil normally calls. So, Isaiah, if Craig calls in, we'll cut you short. But welcome to the show, Isaiah. How are things going? You've been a busy guy lately, and you've been out there pounding the internet and working hard on the social networking. How's that been going?
Yeah, it's a beautiful day to be alive. So it's been going pretty well. One thing that I realized that I don't know if a lot of people do, is that every citizen, whether you're born or a naturalized citizen, you actually have a duty to support things of national importance, such as, you know, repealing bad laws and stuff. And I totally agree with what you and Mary were talking about. I've had a lot of people tell me that if I try to fight the system, then they're going to throw the book at me and give me, you know, worse charges and stuff like that. But I've never looked at it like that. I look at it as though I am defending my rights, not fighting. And as far as court support goes, I feel like anybody who's willing to go and give court support to anybody that's going through a case for, you know, or a trial that has anything to do with cannabis, then, you know, they're fulfilling their duty as a citizen. To do that. Let's see. No man is above the law and no man is below it. Teddy Roosevelt said that. A lot of these judges and, you know, officers and attorneys, they are ignorant. But like you said, some of them are kind of a bit active evil, and they think they have a job. I mean, they do have a job, so they go to work, and it is just going to work for them. But what a lot of them have forgotten, from my experience, is that they have a duty. They have a sworn oath of office. They go to get a paycheck. They're not going to actually protect people's rights to a certain extent, from my experience, what I've seen.
Well, you know, it's a funny thing. We're supposed to be guaranteed equal protection of the law. And in California especially, this is a place where – oh, here comes Craig. Let me take this, and we will continue equal protection of the law as when we get done with Craig here.
Thank you, Jeff.
An inmate at a Salem prison. This call is being recorded and is subject to monitoring. Hang up to decline the call or to accept.
Craig Cecil, how are you doing today?
Hello, Gil. This is, let's see, the federal prison at Terre Haute calling.
Yes, indeed. Well, tell us what's the latest in Terre Haute, Indiana.
Actually, they've actually went further over the top than I would have imagined.
Oh no!
It seems there's about 900 inmates here, and closer to 1,000, I think, now. And since December 1st, they basically closed the dental office. Now, there's a dentist and two old hygienists and some other people that come to work every day, but they just simply quit seeing people. They partially claim that their suction machine broke, I guess, at December 1st, and that they haven't, you know, tried to get it fixed or replaced or anything, and they're just refusing to see patients. Well, the sad part is, there's a few guys wandering around that the whole side of their face is all swollen and everything because, you know, there's something wrong with the tooth, what is that, abscess tooth or infection and all that. These guys, I mean, there's a bunch of them because a lot of people in federal prison come from backgrounds of drug addiction and all that. They never cared for their teeth. So a lot of them have really bad teeth, and now they've got really bad problems. And the dental department, they've, you know, kind of started pushing back at the dental department. And the dentist has promised them if they file any sort of complaint or whatever, that he will get them in the chair and he will hurt them.
Wow, you're kidding me.
No, and figure a dentist is, he's paid easily $150,000 a year, probably, as a federal employee, probably another $50,000 a year in benefits. And he's seen no patients now in nearly 3 months, and he threatens them with harm and hurt if they complain. This is your tax dollars.
You know, I would like to do a story on that. That's ridiculous. I mean, you know, I hear about things every single day, of course, about conditions in our prisons and in courts. But when I hear about somebody just being downright mean-spirited, I just have a hard time sitting back and taking it. I'm going to send you a CoreLynx message, and hopefully I can get enough details about it to write a story about it. That's just out of control. You know, I have somebody that I just connected with whose husband was taken on a prison transport. I think it was a state case. But you know how they do the diesel therapy out there all over the place. And whether it's federal prison or state prison or even local, many times the worst experience anybody can have is being transported from one prison to the next. And this guy, you know, was beaten up and subjected to some horrible conditions. And turns out he's a lawyer, and he wants to put together a lawsuit, and he wants to go after this prison transport company that apparently has the lion's share of the accounts for transporting prisoners. And I'm going to actually hopefully be able to bring together a civil rights attorney willing to jump in and help file this thing, because this guy is actually in custody right now and can't file the suit where he's at.
I think I know of the company. I think they're based out of Memphis.
Yeah, I think it's called Prison Transport or something like that. It's a simple, apparently they have the lion's share of all the transportation contracts.
Yes, I see a lot of people from the federal prison that are also facing state charges.
Right.
The state agencies will pay that company to come and get them.
Yep.
And this call is from a federal prison.
To get from here in the Midwest to Indiana to Florida, which is about 1,000 miles away.
Right.
It'll take them over 30 days of just bouncing all around the country. And
exactly.
And they leave them in there overnight with no heat and that. I mean, it's just crazy what they do to people.
Right. Well, you know, that's one of those things that doesn't have to be that way. And I think that, in my opinion, if we can find people that have been transported and have been subject to those kind of conditions, you know, in the little bit of experience I had, just going from the jail to court, they had me locked up in a cage, in leg irons and shackles, and you know, my charges were selling a plant. It was ridiculous. And that was just, you know, a 20-mile drive. Crazy what they're doing to people, dragging them all over the country.
Well, with that transport company, I think if you posted something in Razor Wire or in some of the other inmate publications, I think you'd get lists of hundreds of stories of what's happened to these people. And like I said, some of the stories I've heard are just atrocious. You just can't imagine them.
Yeah, I think I'm going to do that. We're going to work on putting a press release out and looking for people that want to join the suit. I don't know that it's going to be a class action, but it'll definitely be a multi-party suit. So, we were talking about taking the game to them. And, you know, a lot of times we find ourselves in a defensive position where, you know, we're charged with something and we have to defend ourselves. But I think a lot of times if we're able to bring to light something that is abhorrent, something that's unacceptable, and, you know, take it to them, I think a lot of times that's where real changes get made.
Oh, absolutely. When you get people in the inside here, if they're ever given a voice, it makes all the difference, because people just don't realize what's happening in here. Like I say, between that dentist and the two hygienists and the other woman that works in there, you know, I mean, you're looking at salaries probably, you know, a combined salary of more than $250,000 a year, and they've done nothing in nearly 3 months. They're watching people suffer.
Wow, that's crazy. Well, if you can shoot me some of the details, I will get it written up and I'll get it circulated out there. I'll get Becca to help me and whatnot. We'll put together a good quality article, and we don't have to connect you to it in any way. We'll just let it know that we have a source inside.
Well, as you know, I'm pretty bracing about.
Yes,
about
you are. Speaking of which, how is the diabetes treatment? Do you have everything under control on that now?
Yes. What they did is the medical people here just pretty much offered me whatever you need, you can have, and that's where they left it.
Wow.
My diabetes is under control, and it's really been under control within about 3 days after I got here.
It was
that easy to fix.
Wow, all of that, they had you in such a bad way, and it was really just an issue of diet more than anything, right?
Right, and they, as punishment, they terminated my insulin, something that you would never consider, you know, any doctor doing, let alone a prison doctor. But they cut off my insulin as punishment for me complaining about them.
Wow. Yeah, that's, you know, it's hard for me to believe, but I've seen it. I mean, even in my little experience being locked up, I saw plenty of guards that were just mean-spirited, for no reason, and I it's a foreign state of being for me. You know, I mean, humanity is such a prevalent attribute to most people I know. People are we're humans. We're part of the human solution. We're here to help people. And when you find somebody who is just, you know, the kind of, it's funny, we talked about it before. I think part of the prison guard's training is you have to stomp on a puppy or two just to make it in there. And it's unfortunate because it doesn't have to be that way. Even if prison is necessary, it doesn't have to be cruel and unusual.
No, and many, if not most of the, you know, the BOP
this call is from a federal prison.
Is not those miserable sorts, but believe it or not, those people never get promotions. They, I mean, it's the ones that are, you know, just cruel and unusual by any measure, those are the people that get promoted all the way to the top jobs. It's really kind of backwards.
Well, we're working hard to bring awareness of these conditions. And it's my opinion that people are generally good. And I think that the people that are generally mean-spirited are really few and far between. Unfortunately, they seem to be motivated more than a lot of good people. But I think that the general population, when they hear about something that's not right, it moves them to act. And whether it's a phone call or showing up on something or maybe just voting on something that comes their way, I think that overall, bringing awareness to these atrocities, and I'm going to call them atrocities because I believe they are, you know, denying somebody a basic medical need when you have them in custody, you know. If they're out on their own, hey, that's a whole other story. But you put them in there, and now they're, you know, you can die from a infected tooth pretty easily. And yet they clearly, that's not much of a concern.
Now, the only reason I finally got released from my insulin being terminated, and that is from the activism of you and others that really rallied a whole lot of people to start calling the Bureau of Prisons, to start calling congressmen, to start calling that. And that's what finally got me moved and really, you know, got me insulin when I needed it.
Well, you know, I'm not opposed to calling to action to reach out to Tara Hutt and let them know that we're aware of what's going on and that it's unacceptable. I have no problem. I don't ever have a problem calling the prison to let them know what I think about as a particular condition. So I think that we'll find the contact information that's necessary. And we happen to have a bunch of folks that enjoy that sort of action, and they don't have to get up out of their bed to do it. You can call from wherever you are. You know?
Yes. And I would just mention kudos to Jesse Jackson Jr., who spent last year a good part of it in federal prison, actually in Butner, South Carolina. And but Jesse Jr. was there for IRS violations. But he went into the prison, and he is by education and license a lawyer, and he started helping a lot of the prisoners, you know, in their prison conditions and that. They finally put him in the shoe, and they transferred him to another joint and kept him all by himself for the rest of his 1 year sentence.
Wow.
They were really that mad about him helping people.
Wow. That's crazy.
So it really gives kudos to Jesse Jr.
Yeah, good for him. You know, I mean, and you know, it's strange how people get opportunity to make a difference out there. And I know when I was locked up, I was able to help people make a decision to stand up and fight their case rather than roll over and take the plea deal. And, you know, I was able to look over a number of people's cases while I was there. I wanted to let you know that my parents gave a message to for me to give to you that he got his package.
Oh, excellent.
Now,
and,
Mike,
you know,
after you were on last week, Mike came on and told all about your story. He, you know, he told about the all the investigation he'd done, and he gave the audience a pretty intensive description of what happened with your case.
And as I mentioned before, mentioned to so many people, next jail. I've been in prison for 14 years. And in the brief, Mike did some investigation in my case and into my lawyers and all that. I learned more about my co-defendants and lawyers and all of that from Mike than I did in the first 13 years of my
life. Yeah.
I never got that information.
Mike is quite an investigative reporter. We're really glad to have him on our team. He's been he goes out and finds it.
He's definitely a talented guy. Well, that's the second beep, Joe, so...
All right, Craig, well...
Up in a few seconds.
Always a pleasure to have you with us, and I always like it that you can hang up on your own terms rather than get set up.
Well, thank you, and thank you to everybody for shining a light on us. Those of us serving life for marijuana in here that most people didn't even know about or forgotten, and if we're going to receive help, that's where it's going to come from that light.
All right, Craig. Well, we're here for you, and we did get cut off. So, you know, it's funny. I have a few times thought to myself that this show, as much as I enjoy doing it, it's a lot of work, and sometimes I you know, just have had it. And then I think about when Craig calls, and I think to myself how important it is. Even if I didn't have any listeners, I would probably keep this show alive to give Craig and other inmates that have called from time to time a voice. And I can remember when I was locked up that, you know, that phone was my lifeline, and the ability to talk to somebody that was not in the place I was at was so important. And a couple of times I got plugged into events that were happening, and I was able to speak to the public from where I was at. And, of course, risking punishment. You know, Craig risks punishment every single time he calls here. It's against the rules to talk on a third-party line and to talk to this show without permission from his warden or his counselor or whoever it is that gives that permission is completely forbidden. And he could end up, you know, in the shoe or any number of privileges be stripped from him. But Craig's been locked up for 14 years, and he, according to his sentence, has no way out. And so there's not much I wouldn't do for a guy like that. Craig and I have become friends in a way that I haven't with all the inmates that we support. We have 130-some prisoners that we support, and some of them I've become friends with, some of them we just don't get along. The people are people wherever you go. But yet Craig has gone through some horrible situations. His health was dramatically affected at one point, and then, of course, the loss of his son was horrific, and being locked up when that happened, I couldn't even imagine the anguish. But we've been able to... as he says, be a light in a dark place. And so I am committed to continuing to do that. All right, I'm going to go back to Isaiah. And it looks like we've only got about 12 minutes left of the show, so we're going to do a little fast track in here. And I may or may not get much to the rally subject, but we'll at least touch on it. Okay, Isaiah, welcome back. We're going to have to wrap it quick, but... get to your point.
Well, thank you, Joe. My heart goes out to Craig and to hear that story. It does to me, that is cruel and unusual punishment. I do have good faith in good people, and I believe, like you do, there's a lot of good people out there, a lot more than there are active evil people. I got a quote for you. It's the greater the threat of evil actions is the indifference of good people. I'm not one to really sit around and let things like that, you know, go unnoticed or untold myself. And same thing with you. You're not indifferent about it. You take a stand and you do things about it. One of the reasons why I have had such success on my page is because, you know, people will listen to it, and it is a moving story and a moving case that I have. And there are a lot of good people that are willing to listen to it. So.
Excellent. All right, I say anything, how would one reach you if they want to help out with what you're working on?
My phone number is 208-530-4944. I have a group on Facebook called the Big Picture Group. I've also started a GoFundMe page. It's Stop the Court Abuse at GoFundMe. That's that. And thank you for having me on, Joe.
You betcha. Thank you. And you're always welcome to the show. We'll talk soon.
All right. Thanks.
All right. Again, Isaiah Alleman, friend of the show, and another freedom fighter or freedom stander-upper, as we would say. all right. We've got Chris Marin on the line now. And Chris contacted me a couple of weeks ago, and he's a Vietnam veteran. He's also one of our members the hard way. Remember, at the Human Solution International, there's a number of ways to become a member. One, you can pay your dues, $15 a year, or you can get on our $4.20 a month recurring membership. There's also sponsorship levels that you can participate on. The second way to be a member is to be a volunteer member. And if you want to come aboard, but you don't have that $4.20 a month or $15 to get together, we'd rather have your time anyways. And so there's a number of volunteer projects and teams that you could participate in. Finally, we have what we call the hard way membership. And if you have been locked up or if you're currently fighting a case, you qualify as a member of the hard way. And, you know, we honor your sacrifice. And, you know, we believe that no one should ever go to jail for a plant. And if you do, it at least entitles you to a hard way membership with the Human Solution International. Anyways, Chris has got some interesting ideas. He's also got a daughter who is very talented and skilled, and he's got an idea he would like to present. So, Chris, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Joe. First time I've ever been on a talk radio show in 66 years.
Well, I'm glad to be the guy that is hosting the show that we're breaking you in. We'll go easy on you. So why don't you tell us a little bit about what you had in mind?
Well, this is the first time I've volunteered for anything since I was a draftee machine gunner in Vietnam. I can tell you that.
So, well, I would say this is a much better thing to volunteer for than to be machine gunning in Vietnam.
Well, I just think that your program has probably got more merit to it than anything I've heard of yet. So I'm glad to be of any assistance I can be and provide any knowledge that is possible. I'm a 50-year organic farmer, 25, growing cannabis, and grow only the best organic and biodynamic cannabis that is possible. And I'd certainly like to help anyone that is interested in growing their best medicine possible or helping to get their loved ones out of jail by producing illegal cannabis. I would go to any lengths. I would donate millions of dollars in skills to that. Very soon I may be able to do better because my daughter just earned her doctoral degree as a consulting doctor of agriculture in closed environment agriculture, and she's added cannabis as one of her dissertations. So she's essentially a doctor of cannabis, although her degree doesn't say that. So
it's a great thing because right now, as we're beginning to open the door, you know, this plant is a miracle plant. It's not just a plant that, you know, we like to get high with. It's that, but it's literally a miracle plant. And the fact is most of the knowledge up until fairly recently has been kind of under wraps. You know, if you wanted to learn how to grow some good medicine, you know, usually you'd try and fail a lot until you figured it out, or you'd find somebody who knew some tricks and they'd teach you. And recently, of course, you know, as we've got some states that are opening up their eyes and their minds and their doors a little bit, that information is getting out there a lot more readily. But to have an expert, to have people that are, you know, really put their time in and understand this is only something that's going to benefit the world. You know, this, it's not like growing the best corn in the world. This is a plant that actually heals people. It's a plant that is so diverse that to understand genetic traits and environmental traits, and as you're talking about biodynamic growth, working with the other organisms in a medium and all the different chemical reactions and biological reactions that are happening all at once, the more people can understand that, my goodness, the better we're all going to be.
Well, that's certainly our point of view, is to take the ancient knowledge. You know, our growing system at Perpetual Harvest is based on the Hanging Gardens of Babylon, one of the seven great wonders of the world. And that knowledge comes from 4,000 years ago, but it was hidden from the public eye until not too long ago. So it's important that people realize that if we work with nature and God's most versatile plant, it's incredible all the benefits that can be brought to a person that's in, you know, in a personal endeavor, but also to the community. Because, you know, before they made marijuana illegal in 1935, it was in every over-the-counter drug. There was nothing that it wasn't put on, because it's so versatile, you know. So we're really grateful that the laws that have started to change. You know, I went to federal government and sentenced me to 63 months in prison for an ounce of pot and a gun that I had hanging in my closet, even though I'm a combat vet. They said I used a gun in the commission of a drug crime, and I don't see how you can do that growing pot. But, you know, we've come a long way since that day. The day I was released from prison, they let 10,000 prisoners go because of they'd been held illegally with this ridiculous use of a gun law. So things are improving, but not fast enough for those that are locked up, I can tell you that.
Well, you know, were you on the line when Craig was on? I know you came on sort of at the end of the show, but we had Craig Cecil from Terre Haute, Indiana, in federal prison, where he's serving a life sentence for pot.
Yeah,
I
know all about that place, and that's nasty. You know?
It's a bad place. And, you know, he was actually a truck mechanic. He didn't have anything to do with the pot itself, but you know how it is in these federal cases. One guy gets busted, and next thing you know, the lower guys, the guys that were little or not connected to it, usually end up doing the worst of the time, and the guys who were actually involved oftentimes walk away clean or serving very, very light sentences, and that was absolutely the case here. And so we've championed Craig's cause and given him a voice. He calls in every week onto this show and gives us an update of what's going on, and we try to give him a little hope. And so, you know, it's something small that we can do.
Well, I'm working right now with the National Hemp Association to get hemp off of the Schedule I drug list. And as soon as that happens, the marijuana is coming right behind, because they're the same plant.
Which is part of the conundrum. They are indeed the same plant. Well, listen, Chris, we're running out of time here, but I do want to just wanted to introduce you and love to have you come on maybe and maybe put together a little, you know, a couple of minute little tidbit or something that you can add to the show. I think it'd be kind of cool.
Well, certainly, I'd love to do that. We also we're trying to get the laws changed. My daughter may be on the governor's board to change the laws in Colorado so that we can get these co-ops built for programs like yours, Joe, where the Human Solution International can actually grow marijuana to pay the lawyer bills for those that are locked up in jail, you know.
Well, I like that idea. I think we would have no trouble getting volunteers for that project. I think that would be quite an endeavor, but I'd be all for that once we can get past the federal barriers. Well, listen, I'm very much looking forward to working closer with you. I've got about less than a minute to wrap the show up, so
we'll wrap it up, and I'll be back next week.
I look forward to it. All right, thank you, Chris. All right, everybody, we've got about 45 seconds, and I want to let everybody know that the United CCA, the Coalition of Cannabis Activists, uniting worldwide to repeal cannabis prohibition, is back in action. And on Mondays, we're having our organizing conference call. And this Monday, we're actually going to have a little jury rights training, a little jury nullification training, and that's going to be at 5 o'clock Pacific time. If you're interested in finding out more, go to the UCCA Facebook page, or you can give me a call at 951-436-6312. Once again, I want to thank everybody for joining the show, and I especially want to thank the Coffee Party and the Coffee Party Radio Network for giving us a place to host this show. And if you are interested in the show moving to Tuesday or Wednesday, send an email to thinfo@thsintl.org. And if you're interested in joining our conference call where we're going to be planning new teams, volunteer positions, it's kind of like a sports team where every year we sort of go through and, you know, give people an opportunity to step up and take on some responsibility, be a greater part of the teams that we have, and give some of the people that have been holding responsibility a chance to move sideways or do something a little different. So, again, this is going to be Tuesday at 7 p.m. If you're interested in joining the call, send an email to info@thsintl.org with conference call in the subject line. Well, that's it for today, everybody. I want to thank you all for being a part of the show, and next week I promise I will actually get to the subject that we claim that we're going to be talking about. So we'll see you all next week.